I suppose Vladimir Putin would find a reason to say that it's not all his fault in what's going on. And probably it isn't because, well, basically he's not a prime minister. He's just a president. So he's in charge or and responsible for foreign policy. And he was quite good in this year, regardless of how you feel like his decisions and his actions were bad or good. He actually get what he wanted. And everybody, I believe, in Russia admits this. Despite that, what happens with the economy is quite the opposite. Putin, in the beginning of 2000, when he was like the first version of Vladimir Putin, Vladimir Putin 1.0, yeah, he was the man to save Russian economy, and his core audience were people in the middle class and small businesses, and they saw him as a well-educated and sophisticated in how the market works, and attentive listener to those who to those think tanks who give him liberal advices. And now what we see is all those people who believe in him and this version of Vladimir Putin sees him as like what is he's doing. And people in Russia, like, they are actually confused, and we have real stagnation right now, and we're in the middle of the economical crisis. Just to let you know what happened in the beginning of this week, ruble fell down 2 times. Well, it was Black Monday followed by an even darker.
Well, exactly, and it's been Tuesday. Propped up a little bit since. But you know how secure is that?
And it was propped up because they were preparing to the press conference today.
Well, indeed.
And you say that people are confused, Sarah. But what is the opposition? I mean, who is there that is coming up against Putin? And I mean, apparently, opinion polls say that Putin is still very, very popular. Are they to be believed?
Well, I think the opinion polls have been consistent with Putin's popularity, but I do think previously it has been based on more foreign policy. And the whole point of Putin's foreign policy has been directed towards maintaining his domestic popularity. Now, it's very easy to say certain things about a war that Russia technically claims it's not involved in, even though it obviously is in eastern Ukraine. But when you come to domestic economics, and when the Russian media is reporting about how poor the economic situation is every day, it's very hard for Putin to spin that. I think he certainly will in his press conference.
Because life is tough for people now, becoming more and more
exactly.
tough.
Exactly. And I still think there are still mixed views because it's still relatively early. I think you still get very much support. And obviously, there's always the scapegoat of America, of sanctions, of the West doing this to really sort of destroy Russia. And that's still, I think there will be always a core people that will believe that. But once people have fewer savings and once their money is worth less and they come into problems, that's when the government really is more central in terms of being seen to either fix it or be unsuccessful in actually rectifying the situation.
Well, indeed. And although in theory it's foreign policy that is his thing, as you were saying, Tanya, version 1.0 was all about coming to the rescue of the problems that sort of started in 1998.
And so, prompting economical growth.
Well, exactly. So if this continues, how precarious is his position, do you think?
Stressful. I wouldn't even talk about this, how dangerous it is right now for him. I mean, it's obvious. And talking about opinion polls, there are two ways of how people in Russia express their opinion. On the first hand, and we recently saw that his ratings of popularity are at the same level, and it could probably be so. Yeah, so people would probably answer the question, do you trust Vladimir Putin? They would say yes, and 72% or 86% would say so. But on the other hand, what we see is ruble, and one of the governors buying of dollar, and one of the governors of the region where Olympic Games in Sochi were held on just tweeted this night, like, we hate America. We hate this bloody country. Why would you, Russian patriots, would buy American currency and sell your rubles? We know that he's doing exactly the same thing. But this is how people really. So what's happening to ruble is what people actually think about Putin and what actually they think about Russian prospects. But this connection between what he has done with the foreign policy and what we have now with the currency in the country and with the economical situation. And that one is the reason for another. It's a really hard thing to understand. And I don't believe that like the majority of Russian population links these things together.
Sarah, some say that they're blaming the Western sanctions for this economy, a fiasco. But at the end of the day, Russia has based its economy on, they haven't diversified enough. They're basing it on oil. They don't control the oil price at all. So who's to blame for the fact that the economy hasn't been diversified?
Well, obviously, it is the government. I mean, Medvedev, when he was president, did come in on this policy of we're trying to diversify, trying to bring tech more into the economy, but it didn't work and nothing really got done. And now you are seeing the effects of the fact that the financial system in Russia is flawed to deal with certain shocks to its system. And obviously, like as has already been mentioned, it's a lot about confidence, and the ruble lost confidence. The Russian economy has been losing confidence, arguably before the Ukraine crisis. There has been a drop in foreign investment. But really, it is, there's a complete lack of diversification, and the fiscal sort of reforms that should have taken place in the banking sector simply haven't taken place. And now that's what's helping to contribute to the problem.
Some say he needs to call an early election. Would that ever happen? I've read that in a couple of
re-election,
places.
Yeah. Re-election, that means that Putin has an exit strategy. He doesn't. I mean, that's the most horrible and scary situation, because if he would have an exit strategy, if he would have like, okay, I resign, I'm tired, I'm gone, but as Yeltsin did, yeah, or as anybody did, that all be fine. But he has no exit strategy, and that means that the situation is really dangerous.
Well, I think that would be the only real exit strategy at this point, though. If he, if there was a way that he could leave calmly and quietly and leave the problems to someone else, that might be a possibility. But just given the rhetoric and the persona that now Putin has built up, I don't think that's really likely.
And people whom he should be scared the most are people within his inner circle, because they suffer the most because of the sanction. Because what happened with ruble on Monday and Tuesday is that Russian biggest companies who, because of the sanctions, well played and well placed, has no access to foreign currency markets. They should pay a lot of money for more than Russian gross domestic product per year. I believe, or budget, Russian budget, more than Russian budget, probably.
Well, Rosneft has a debt of about $7 billion that's due this week, and that's part of the reason I think you're referring to.
So what's going on? Rosneft has to pay it to the West. It can't take another credit because of the sanctions. She doesn't have any money, and no Russian bank would give her any money.
So
budget wouldn't do.
It's going to get a lot more expensive, and that's going to force people's hands a little bit. So thinking about then potential opposition. Then we've had the former Prime Minister Mikhail Kazyanov, once an ally, doesn't sound like much of an ally anymore, essentially saying that he needs to sort out an exit strategy, as you say, or the other thing being effectively a tightening of the screw on dissenting voices. I mean, Sarah, do you see either of those being likely to play out at this point?
I think the more likely one would be the sort of more of a crackdown, as we've seen already in the past with public protests. And I don't think, in the wake of the Ukraine crisis, public protest, the appetite for it in Russia was very low. Nobody really wants a Maidan situation in Moscow. However, as I say, once the economic situation gets worse and your average person starts getting a bit more nervous and more anxious about their savings and what their own economic situation is, you might see some more dissenting voices. But currently, as it stands, I just don't really see a real credible opposition forming. We've seen attempts at it in the past, and it's just the base for that and the extent of the current government's reach into, for example, state-owned companies to that power. And we've seen it with Rosneft on Friday raising its money through a central bank bond. That's really sort of that the power structures currently are so complex that I think to actually overthrow that would be incredibly difficult.
That's a funny thing, because in 2012, when the protests happened in biggest cities, we were thinking, as I should say we, because I was one of the participants, of like how to make it not the like 2% of the population who are like more liberal or something, more like of the higher social class, how to make this class of people who want to protest bigger. Now it's bigger, but because of 2012, we all understand what will happen next if you lose. You will be imprisoned. And that makes people scared. And there is no real political leader. And there is nothing that could make all these people together.